Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name is Dusty Slay, and I'm your host, and I'm pumped to be here. It's a Tuesday, and I'm excited. It's a great day. I went to the eye doctor today, got my eyes checked out. I got new glasses on the way, new frames. I'm going a little thicker, a little darker, going back to kind of an old school dusty look. But I also kind of wear thick glasses sometimes too already. So not really that old school. Either way, exciting. I have made bad eyewear choices in the past. I can look around this room where I have various pictures of myself throughout the years with different comics, and I can see some of my bad eyewear choices. It's difficult when you're in getting your eyes checked, and then you're walking around that office looking at frames, and you're trying them on, and you're saying, this is going to be my look for the next year. Or if you're like me, you push it as long as you possibly can. I will ride a prescription out for as long as I can. The main reason I'm going to get these replaced is because they're so scratched up and just so brutal that I feel like I need to clean the glasses all the time. And then I look at them and I go, oh, this is just scratches where my son put my glasses in his mouth and chewed on them, or where he threw them out. He took them off my face and threw them across the room. You know, stuff like that. And it's time to get them, to get new ones. So that's why I'm doing it. And I'm excited about it. But I've also made choices in the past inside the room, inside that office, where I go, this is a good look for me. And then I look back on that, on those glasses, and I go, this was a big part of my problem in life. I can look back at haircuts and glasses and facial hair choices and go, well, this was the problem for you. Also, during those times, I was drinking heavily. But the glasses are prominent. That's right there on your face. I had a pair of metal glasses. These are kind of metal, but I had some metal ones that I really liked. When I was in the doctor's office that time back in Charleston, my eye doctor was wearing those glasses, and he was bald. Like full on bald, and it looked good on him. And I thought, this is a good looking guy. And I thought, man, I want those glasses. And so I got them, and I did not look the same. And I was drinking with my buddy, and we were kind of wrestling slash fighting in the hallway of our apartment complex. It was one of those big apartment complexes where the hallway is open. It's open air. And then there's apartments on either side. Very nice place. But we were fighting there, and he pushed my face into the wall, and my glasses cut across my nose. And I still have a small scar across my nose where I bled. It was a big day because I had just gotten those glasses, I think. And he made fun of them, and then I made fun of a tattoo he had. Him and another friend of mine, they got Bible verse tattoos, and they got the Bible verse really misquoted. I mean, it was just, it's like they didn't even, I think they just said, this is how I remember it, and I'm not even gonna pick up a Bible. The internet was around. I don't know if smartphones weren't around, but the internet was around. All he had to do was pick up a Bible and just go, let me make sure I got this right. But he didn't do it. Neither of them did. It was terrible tattoos. So I made fun of that. But all that to say, it's a big deal in there, eyeglass choices. I mean, you could buy a new shirt and then, because glasses are expensive too. This was a very expensive day for me, even with insurance. But You can buy a shirt and go, ah, I do it all the time. Looks good in the store. You get it home, you go, I'll never wear this. And so I've done that many times. But glasses are for a while. If you got a lot of money, you just go replace them. You go, you know what? I don't like these. But the average person, they pick glasses, and no matter what, you're wearing those. You're wearing those for a while. But these are nice that I got, and I like them. I'm very excited about it. I've been talking with a friend today over the internet about eating pork and not eating pork. And I feel like people get very upset with me about it. I don't, Christian beliefs-wise, I don't believe that we should eat pork. The Muslims don't do it. The Jews don't do it. I don't think we should do it either. And the argument that everyone always has is that Jesus made it okay to eat all foods. And I've kind of come to this place now where I'm like, why would he do that? Of rankings of things that are important to be dealt with, was it really important to be like, you know what? You know those pigs that we told you not to eat? Well, we're going to let you eat them now. And I just think that it doesn't make sense that that would have been done. And so I just talked to people about it. I think people, it's hard to read through text, but I think people get upset with me. They question my salvation. And it doesn't bother me because I've been eating like this for a long time. Well over 10 years, I've not eaten pork or shellfish. It gets hard at times. Not really hard, but I just went to Gulf Shores, which I want to talk about. I had a great time. But, you know, I go to the restaurants there, and it's pork and shellfish is so many of the options. I did find some places where they had good fish, and then I had a steak. But, yeah, I mean, it's the options are shellfish and pork. And I used to tear it up. But I just don't believe that we should eat it. And people go, oh, well, do you think that's a salvation issue? And I don't think that if you're eating pork, you're going to go to hell. That's not what I don't believe that. But what I think is that, you know, God was laying out for the Hebrews in the desert. I think this was well known prior to the desert. But, you know, it's like in Noah's Ark, this gets left out of children's stories all the time and children's songs about Noah. That in Noah's Ark, it says, everybody just says two by two. He took pairs of animals by twos. But, you know, it says that Noah took by sevens of clean animals and by twos of unclean animals. And so, and there's other references to clean and unclean animals prior to the desert. But I think what the explanation is, you know, everyone knew this, you know, from the time of, I don't know, from the time of whatever, I guess from the time of Noah, because people weren't really eating meat prior to Noah. So maybe Noah was the beginning. And, you know, all the way up to, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they all knew what was clean and what was unclean. But then when they went into Egypt and spent 500 years in slavery, or however long it was, I don't know how long, but over that time, they kind of adopted a lot of the practices of the Egyptian people. So when they got out of there, God needed to re-give the laws to them that they had forgotten, the ones that had been passed down since Adam, since Noah, they had forgotten them. So God was re-giving it to them. And so he was telling them, he was saying, hey, I've created all the animals. I know which animals are good for you to eat and which animals are bad for you to eat. And when you really look at it, I saw a guy, I got to find the video. I don't know if I'd even be allowed to share it, but I found a video of a guy. It was a very old guy. It was an old video, and he was breaking it down toxicity levels, And he found that animals that were deemed unclean in the Bible had the highest level of toxicity, meaning they were the worst for your body. Now, there's some argument I always see amongst health food people about oysters. Oysters doing, you know, something for your body that's good. Maybe it's protein or whatever. But for the most part, on diet plans, you never see any of that stuff. You might hear people say the carnivore diet, eat more fish, eat more beef, eat more chicken. But you never hear anybody go, what you need to do is eat more pork. You need to get more pork in your diet. And I don't even just mean bacon. The process for making bacon is so bad for you that even if if pork were a clean animal, I think bacon is still bad for you. So these unclean animals are bad for our bodies. Now, again, of course, we've invented so many bad things that I eat. I mean, I went on a streak recently of eating Butterfingers. I was almost secretly eating Butterfingers on the road. Everywhere I would go, I would get a Butterfinger. I love Butterfingers. The Green Room at Zany's, the comedy club here in Nashville, they have snacks for us. There's always candy bars in there. And I do pretty good, you know, they'll have little Reese cups, little minis, and I'll eat one or two, but I don't do too bad. But they got Butterfingers in there, the small bite-sized Butterfinger, not bite-sized, but fun size. And I just kept eating them. I just kept eating the Butterfingers, and it spilled over into daily life for me. I would be on the road and I would stop at the gas station and I would buy a Butterfinger. And then I reached a place where I started to feel really bad. My digestion took a turn. And I don't know if it was totally the Butterfingers, but it could not have played a good role for me. And I think if Butterfingers would have been around during the time of God giving the food laws, I think he would have listed the Butterfingers as unclean. That's just a suspicion that I have, but I do think they would have made the unclean list. So I'm not trying to claim that I have perfect eating. I don't. I'm a mess with eating so often. But I did away with eating pork and shellfish in about 2013, I would say. It took me a minute after I quit drinking to catch on to that. But I started doing it, and I've never looked back. One time I was at Hyman's. Hannah reminded me of this the other day. One time we was at Hyman's, and Eli, the owner, was being very nice to us. And I was just eating regular clean foods. And Eli brought up this big platter of food for us. And it was very nice of him to do. And it was so much unclean seafood. And Hannah looked at me and I didn't know what to do. I was weak. And I said, just do it. Let's just eat it. Let's just do it. And you know what? I enjoyed it. Crab cakes are delicious. Fried scallops are broiled with Cajun seasoning is delicious. Shrimp is unbelievable. But I don't miss it. I really don't. And I just think that God was saying, hey, listen, these are bad for you. I have other purposes for these animals. I think pigs, I think India one time put pigs in their landfills to clean them up. I think that would be great. Now, we might have to do a little separation of landfills. I don't like pigs, but I wouldn't want them to be out there eating the plastic. But I think that pigs can eat about anything and digest it. And so they're a good filter for the land. They're good to get rid of waste. I think if we had a pig pen, we could throw a lot of our stuff in there that the pigs would eat and get rid of for us. I don't know, but I think they have a purpose. And I especially think that with oysters, shrimp, scallops, lobster, crabs, all of that stuff, catfish is even on the list. And they're filters for the oceans. And I think of how much of that food is available for us to eat and how dirty so often our waters are. And I thought, if we didn't fish any of that, if as a world we decided that we weren't going to eat any of those things, how clean might the oceans be? How clean might the lakes be? I don't know, but I think about it. In the creek that I have in McMinnville, I'm told is completely fed by mountain streams. I want to walk up the creek to see how far it goes, but I'm told that it's completely mountain fed and the water's crystal clear. And I'm sure that plays a role, but the creek is also filled with these little, mussels, freshwater mussels or snails or something. And I got to believe that they're just filtering water. They're just cleaning the water. And that's what I think about. It doesn't upset me that other people eat pork. It doesn't upset me that people eat shrimp. I go out to eat with people all the time that eat it. But I just don't think that we're supposed to be doing it. I don't think it's good for us. And I think that it's laid out very clearly. And I think, and I'm not going to talk the whole time about this, I promise, but I'm into it. I feel good. I think that when we get to this verse, I think it's Acts, when Peter is on the rooftop and he has the vision. I know I've gone. If you're a longtime listener, you're probably so bored right now, and I'm sorry. But when Peter's on the rooftop and the sheet comes down and it's filled with unclean animals and Peter's hungry, and God says, kill and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And God says, who are you to call common and unclean what I've made clean? And that came down three times, and Peter said no every time, and Peter was confused. And then later, he realized that there was this guy, I believe his name was Cornelius. I should do a little research before I talk about it, but I believe that was his name, and he was a Roman of some sort, but he was a not a Jewish guy, and he was a God-fearing man. And Peter realized that what God was saying was that this man, who is normally would be called common and unclean by me, God is saying to me, that man is not common and unclean. He is a God-fearing man, and you are going to make him a Christian. He's going to become a Christian. I'm paraphrasing. And I think the verse itself, it answers, you know, its own question. It says that, you know, he was confused and then it was revealed to him. But my thing that I always think about is Peter spent time with Jesus. He was one of Jesus's closest friends, and he spent time with him. And so if Jesus made all foods clean, as certain versions of the Bible say, one says purging all meats. But I just think that, you know, and Jesus was really chastising these other Jewish people in this building. If the interpretation is, if let's say, in fact, it is that Jesus made all meats clean, suddenly pork was okay. He was chastising men who were just keeping God's law, because that would have been the first time that had ever been said. Jesus said in that moment, what is it? It's, I don't know, I could look up the verse just in case you want to read those things. He would have been chastising them for Mark 7. They were just, this would have been the first they had ever heard of this. And there were a lot of things that I think they were doing wrong, but they were doing wrong that was going contrary to what God's word was. And Jesus would have been yelling at them and telling them that they were wrong for actually just following what they would had read in Leviticus. It would have been confusing for everybody in the room, because none of those people considered pork to be food. It would be like the equivalent to someone being in America and going, all right, like say Jesus was here and he goes, all meats are clean. And we go, oh, okay. Well, let's eat some dog, right? It's like, we don't think of dogs as food, but you know, the same way they didn't think of pigs as food. And so, but even if that is what happened in that moment, if Jesus chastised these men for just following exactly as God had laid it out, why did Peter not know that Jesus did that? Even if there was one person around that was friends with them, they would have asked later, like, Jesus, what were you talking about back there? You're saying we could eat pigs and stuff like that? You're saying all that's fine? And then Peter would have known. And so when he was on the rooftop and he was hungry and God brought down this sheet and said, kill and eat, I would think Peter would have been like, oh, thank you. I appreciate it, Lord. But he was hungry, so God used something that, you know, that he would tune into, that he would understand. He used an interpretation that he would understand. And that's how I see it. But this is also my thing. I'm just following what Leviticus says, right? So Leviticus about dietary laws. So if I'm wrong and I was allowed to eat pork all this time, I think no harm, no foul, right? I mean, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just sharing what I believe. And so no harm, no foul. It's like, we all agree that beef is okay to eat biblically. We all agree that beef is a clean animal. But if you choose to not eat beef, that's okay. It's okay to not eat beef. I'm not going to tell you you got to eat it. But, you know, we all agree that it's clean. So in the same way, if I you know, get to heaven, you know, hopefully I end up in heaven, I find out that I was wrong, then I go, oh, dang, you mean I could have been having barbecue sandwiches, ribs, and, you know, raw oysters? I'd be like, dang, I really missed out. But no harm, no foul, right? But if I am deliberately going, I don't know, I read it in there, but I think I can do it, then that seems, I don't know, it seems a little more tricky. And I like to err on the side of caution and go, if I don't think that I should, if I'm not sure, I'm not going to do it until I'm sure. That's where I'm at. But I've had comments made to me before where they tell me, this is why you need to belong to a church. This is why you need a pastor, because you need someone to correct you on these things. But, you know, I disagree because, you know, there's tons of preachers out there. I've belonged to many churches in the past, and I've heard preachers say these things. I've had conversations with preachers about it. And most of the time, they disagree with me. And that's okay. I think we should have these kind of discussions, and I think it is okay to disagree. I think the big thing is that we want to agree that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that no one gets to heaven except through Jesus. I think that's the big thing, right? All the other things are things that we have debates on about the Word, and I think that's good. It's good to break into it and debate iron sharpens iron sort of thing. I think it's very good to have these kind of conversations because whenever I have these conversations with people, they send me verses, I send them verses, and I feel like it forces us to dig a little deeper. We may be digging our heels into our own side, but nevertheless, digging into the Bible, which I think is good. But I don't think it's good to necessarily just lean on a preacher as if that preacher is all-knowing. Because, you know, we are all, you know, as Christians, you know, been giving the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us. And if we have these questions, I do believe the answer can be found, you know, through prayer. And I've prayed about it many times, and I've read about it many times. And believe me, if me and you get into a debate about it, you can believe that I've heard all of the arguments. And I'm not bothered by it. You know, I don't get upset, but I believe that there was a tree that was established, you know, the tree, the God's original people, and that through Jesus, we have been grafted into that tree. So I think everything that was established in that tree still exists, but we're now grafted in. That's my thoughts on it. I hope that you were not so bored out of your mind that you turned off the podcast, because I'm about to talk about Gulf Shores now. I had a great time in Gulf Shores. I am from Alabama, and I love to go back to Alabama. I love to support Alabama. I mean, my three states, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Alabama. That's where I've spent significant time. 21 years in Alabama, 10 to 11 in Charleston, and, you know, 10 to 11 in Tennessee. These are my states. I love these states. There are many states I love. There are many states that I think are really great, and I'm very fond of them. But these are my states. This is where I've spent significant time of my life, and I love to support Alabama. I don't mind Florida. I don't have a problem with Florida. But if I can go to the beach in Alabama, that's where I'm going to go. I like a beach in California, but man, I love Alabama. And I know there's some debate now about whether it's called the Gulf of Mexico or the Gulf of America. I'll just say the Gulf. I love it there. The water's warm. The beaches are nice. In Alabama, now I went the week after 4th of July, it's not that crowded. I rented a beach house because I took my whole family, and then I took my sister and brother-in-law. I enjoy hanging out with them. We have fun, but they also love my kids, and my kids love them. So it does allow for a little bit of a break for me and Hannah from constant parenting. We were able to go to dinner together. And then the four of us were able to team up and watch the kids. And my kids got in the ocean for the first time. I think we really formed some memories out there. I just had a great time. I'm not full of complaints right now because I really enjoyed myself. I spent time out in the sun. I think the sun is so good for you. That's another debate that I've had with people many times. People get very upset about the debate on whether we should have sunscreen or not. I personally don't believe in sunscreen. I believe that the sun is the life giver. God created the sun for us. It gives life to the plants. There's plenty of videos out there of cats and dogs laying on the floor inside a house, laying inside the sun that is coming through the window. And they'll move around as the sun moves around in the sky, and the light changes, the animals will move to get back into the sun. We need the sun. I think there was something out there that we're all suffering from some sort of vitamin deficiency. I think being in the ocean, having your feet in the sand, swimming in the ocean, it's grounding. It's also life-giving. It feels unbelievable to just float in the ocean, to just be in the ocean and just, I don't know, I slept better. I felt better. I want to move to the beach. I want to go back to the beach. I don't think in my whole life, now maybe I've done some comedy where I had a hotel close, but never in my whole life have I had rented a beach house. I lived on Folly Beach for a year when I was younger, but I was still, you know, two or three blocks from the beach. This is the first time that I've ever actually been able to walk out of the house, go downstairs, and walk right onto the beach. It's unbelievable. I loved it. I can't say enough about how good it was. I do have some complaints, though. You know that's true. I can't just not have complaints. I walked out onto the beach the first day we got there. We got there on a Tuesday. We showed up, and I'm just trying to find a picture that has some information on it. But I'm having a little trouble right now finding it. But either way, We showed up on a Tuesday. We got right out there. The kids wanted to go to the beach right away. They could see it from the window. So we went right away out there, me and Hannah and the kids. I stepped into the water. I was not even up to my calf yet, I don't believe, and I got stung by a jellyfish on the leg, on my foot. I can see something on my ankle now from it. And then I was like, dang, that was quick. And then I kept getting little stings on my legs, little ones, not enough to hurt, not like a bee sting, but enough to go, dang, I don't like that. And then I swam around a little more. I got the kids in. I think Daisy got a small little one of those little bites, and she didn't want to go back in. Sam didn't want to get in. Hannah didn't want to get in. I tried to swim around a little bit. I got another sting on my leg. And I was like, jeez. And then I told my sister about it when I got back to the house. And then me and my brother-in-law and Hannah went to dinner that night at a place called DeSoto's. Very good. It reminded me a lot of Hyman's, just the way they were seating you, the size of the restaurant, and just in general, the way they operated reminded me of Hyman's. But it was, you know, it was very good. I don't mean to say, but I always thought Hyman's was good, but I'm saying it was very good. I enjoyed it. And then my sister texts me a picture, showing that outside of the beach house was a flagpole, and the flag had a purple flag and a yellow flag. And I think the yellow flag, I could have these confused, but the yellow flag indicated that there was a strong current, that they're just saying, just be careful. There's a bit of a current out there and it could pull you out. And I did feel that while I was out there. Now, I never got deep enough. I could always stand, so it wasn't a big deal, but I could feel that out there. And then the purple flag meant that there were jellyfish and other types of algae and potentially sharks in the water. So, you know, swim with caution. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And those flags remained there our entire trip. The next day, me and my brother-in-law went in and we swam. And we got lots of those little bites. And then he got a jellyfish. Now, these were not severe jellyfish stings. I've had worse than this. But it was like every time you got in the water, there were little fish. It felt like the fish were in the sand and would emerge out of the sand just to come and poke around at your feet. I saw two really big fish in the water. I've never experienced anything like this. I've had stings in the past, but, you know, I used to spend, several days a week at the ocean. I would go several days a week to the ocean. And I was just getting bit nonstop this time. I saw a big fish and I saw, I don't know, some kind of barracuda looking thing shoot by real fast. But it was still very fun. And then we had two really pleasant days where we didn't get any kind of bites. The flags were still there, but we didn't get any kind of bites. And we took both of the kids in the water. They got to swim around in there. They can't swim, but they got to float around with us. And we put Daisy on a little boogie board. And when the waves would come in, we'd lift her up and like she was jumping the waves. She had a blast. They had an absolute blast building sandcastles. I got tons of sun, but I was careful. I didn't get sunburned because we had some umbrellas. So I would, you know, I'd go out, I'd get sun. I got a little red, but I never got burned. And on the final day, I used some mineral sunscreen, which again, I'm not a fan of, but I was like, I do think your skin is letting you know that it's too sunny. You're burned. And I don't want to burn. So I put some of that on and then I didn't burn. So it was great. Here's my complaints, though. The beach was not crowded, but there were people out there. There were people all over the beach, but they were all over like in a line down the beach. I've been on the beach where it's like it's a line and then another line and then people are spread all about and it's hard to even find a spot. This was nothing like that. It's really great. That's why, you know, I probably shouldn't even give the secret away, but that's why Gulf Shores is good. Dauphin Island, there was even less people there. I prefer Dauphin Island because there's less people, but I prefer Gulf Shores because there's actually a decent grocery store. There's a few more things to do on in Gulf Shores than there is Dauphin Island. I drove down to Orange Beach just to see what was going on down there. Me and Hannah went to dinner one night at a place called Perch. And as we arrived at Perch, I realized that I did a corporate event last year sometime at that hotel conference. It was like a hotel, big conference room, couple of restaurants. The restaurant was very nice. But I realized I bombed at a corporate event down there. And it was one of the worst ones I've ever done. It was for, I forget what it is, but it's a, my dad used to have one. It's a cell phone, but also a walkie-talkie. And I forget what that's called, but it may come to me. But I was excited about it. But man, they were not into it. And it's too bad. I liked them. I got some laughs. It wasn't a total bomb. I don't have any total bombs anymore, but I have some corporate events that sometimes are like, it's borderline. It's tricky. All right, here's my complaints. The beach, there were enough people around that when I go to the ocean, what I want to listen to is the ocean. I want to hear the waves rolling in. I want this peace. But there was always somebody out there with a stereo playing music. And what they're playing, because Gulf Shores is, I've said this to Hannah, and I think this is true. The whole country goes to Florida and Myrtle Beach. The whole east side of the country, that's where I feel like they go. The southern people go to Gulf Shores. So much of the music was modern day country, just modern day radio country, where it just has that tweeting sound. I remember in our cars when I was in high school, they had what they called tweeters. I don't know if that was the official name, but they would have them in the front of the car, usually in the front corner by your driver's side door. It'd be right above your left eye there, and it would be a little speaker, and it would do the t-t-t-t-t-t. Like you would hear the cars going down the road, and you could hear that t-t-t-t-t-t. I can't describe it, but it's that, and it's a clapping kind of noise. That's what is filled with New Country. New Country is filled with those sounds, just some kind of clapping, chirping, tweeting sound. And I don't know what that is. And then the music is all taking itself too seriously and too melodramatic. I'm not into it. In my opinion, on a regular beach, there's two forms of acceptable music. There's classic rock, that's acceptable, and there's yacht rock. Those are the two forms, and yacht rock is basically classic rock, but a bit of a beach vibe. That's it. If you like pina coladas getting caught in the rain, that's beach music. That's acceptable. Maybe if you're in Jamaica, we're doing reggae. You know, depends on where you're at. But a southern beach, it feels like classic rock and yacht rock. That's all that's acceptable. But this so much new country, and it's just, I prefer no music. We're polluting the air out here. We finally made a trip down to the beach. I just want to hear the waves crashing in. We're too stimulated. I think there was a time when, you know, we weren't stimulated everywhere we went. So out on the beach, listening to some music was pretty fun. I think that time's passed. Or maybe I'm just a grump. But I also think not everybody wants to hear your music. I have a Bluetooth speaker that I like to play. But I'm very self-aware. I take it with me to hotels, and I'll play music on the Bluetooth speaker in my hotel. Never too loud, never late at night, but I will play music for myself. I'll play it around the house, stuff like that. Never where I feel like it's disturbing other people. That's my rule. I think it's a good rule to live by. Don't make people listen to what you're listening to, unless you're a DJ. And if you're a DJ, you should be good, and you should be able to read the room. That's what I think. Here's my other complaint about people at the beach. I don't like when people are fishing at the beach. What are you doing? people are swimming out here. Now, I don't know a lot about ocean fishing, but I know that when you're fishing in a lake, you use a bait to bring in the kind of thing that you want to catch. But you might be fishing for a bass, but you catch a brim. Or you might, you know, I don't know. At least, all right, I'll say this. When I used to fish for catfish, sometimes we would catch brim. I don't know a lot about bass fishing. I think you need a little fish kind of lure, and you got to throw it and then kind of reel it in slow. I think that's how it goes. Catfish, you just have a little, that's really all the kind of fishing that we would do. You would have a little, what do they call it? A little bobber on there, a little floater, and then you would hang down. You put some weights on your string and hang a little hook, put a worm on it, throw it out. The bobber's in there. It's just floating, and you wait for it to get pulled down, and that means you got a bite. And you reel it in. That's the kind of fishing I always did. Sometimes you catch a brim when you're trying to catch a catfish. That's how it goes. So I don't think the people are fishing for sharks, but I don't know what they're using. And I don't want you to bring in any fish to where I'm swimming. I want fish, the last thing on their mind to be, I bet there's food up by that beach. I don't know why that's a thing. I don't know why we allow people to just fish on the beach. Now, people are fishing off the pier, and I think that's okay, I guess. I mean, it's still the same water, but, you know, in that sense, it's like, hey, don't swim around the pier. Don't fish around the beach. Don't swim around the pier. I think those are good rules to live by. And I don't care for it. I don't care for the fishing. I would rather you play music on the beach than fish out of the beach. And also, we made our little camp, and we found a giant hook in the sand where my kids are playing, a giant rusty hook where somebody got sloppy with their fishing. Maybe it was just an accident, but still, you left a hook. Could have given us all tetanus out there, even though I'm not sure I believe in tetanus. I guess it's gangrene is real, but I don't know if I believe in tetanus. I had a thing I wanted to read, but I forgot to bring it up here. But I went to, I went to Perch. I went to DeSoto. I got an email from a guy telling me to go to a place called the Ugly Diner on Gulf Shores. And I went there and I saw a review. It said it was the best Reuben I've ever had, is what it said. So I had to go. So I went down there and I got the Reuben. I enjoyed the Ugly Diner a lot. I thought it was really good. It's not the best Reuben I've ever had, but it was very good. If I live there, I would go back and I would eat that again. My friend Joey gave me several recommendations. I didn't take a single one. I don't know why. But I just, when I got an email from a guy telling me that he was local to the area and that he loves that place, I was like, well, I got to check that out. I got to check out. And then he also recommended a coffee spot called Foam, I think. And Hannah had already been there and she liked the coffee. She had already been there that week by the time we got the recommendation. Another guy from Publix in Foley, Alabama, messaged me and said, wanted me to come by and pay him a visit. And he said he was working on Saturday, or on Friday, but I don't remember what day. But it was too far just to drive out to Foley, to the Publix, because there were two Publix before I got to Foley from Gulf Shores. But on my way out on Saturday, I did stop by a Publix in Foley and I talked to a lady. And then she told me I was at the wrong Publix and that Foley had a new Publix. And that was too, I'd already got my wife to stop at a Publix so I could go say hey to a, you know, a stranger, a fan, but a stranger. And so it didn't work out. So I don't know if you listen to this podcast but I did try to come see you. And I was going to come say, hey, I thought it'd be fun. I love Publix, but I got the wrong one. And then we were already pressed for time. When you got two kids in the car, it's always pivotal to get to moving. But I had a great time there. I just can't stress it enough. Gulf Shores is a great place. Very fun. I got a lot of emails from people, a lot of recommendations. I've gotten some really great emails lately. And there was one, somebody said, okay, here's an email from someone. I recently heard a country song I hadn't heard in a really long time, Almost Home by Craig Morgan. I don't know if he's the original artist or not, but that's how I know it. I feel like this is one of the saddest songs in existence. A homeless guy basically dreaming about his childhood as he almost passes away, wishing whoever wouldn't have woke him up. But the heartbreaking part about it is that his childhood sounded incredible. Fishing with his dad, mom yelling it's dinner time, playing on what sounds like a farm of some kind, jumping in creeks, etc. Listening to your podcast a lot lately and hearing that song, the description of that childhood just reminded me of your ideal lifestyle. Maybe, haha. Dirt roads, fields of hay, freshly mown grass, just the simple life. Anyway, being a dad with a couple of kids, the presumed tragedy in that song, where did his life take a turn, really tugs at my heartstrings. Was curious what you thought about it. While it's sad, I love songs that can get an emotional response. Well, Ryan sent that in. Thank you. I also think that's a very sad song. But, you know, when I listen to it, yeah, I mean, I can totally see it. I mean, I know people like that to an extent. Maybe they've not taken it quite that far, but some of my friends from my childhood, I mean, that's how I grew up, you know, playing in the creeks. You know, my parents were divorced, but they still were both very much in my life. My mom wasn't cooking a lot of dinners, but we still had a great time. My mom was still yelling at me to come back home, and I fished with my dad. And yeah, I mean, it's all beautiful stuff. But, you know, you grow up like that, and inevitably, I think people, not everyone, but I think people yearn for something different. I know I did. I know Hannah did. That's how Hannah grew up, too, in a lot of ways. And we both started to feel bored. And we wondered, well, what else is out there? What else can we find? I found myself, you know, even before I left my hometown, getting into various substances. I found when I moved to Charleston, really diving into drinking. And it's like, had I not quit and turn that around, who knows where my life could have ended up. I mean, when you see documentaries of people that are homeless on the streets in Skid Row and in Seattle and in, you know, Denver and in Kensington Avenue and Philadelphia, you know, when they actually interviewed these people, they're all on drugs, right? And it's like, it's not that they were just like, I want to go live on the street and do drugs for whatever reason. Maybe the doctor prescribed them and they got addicted, or maybe, you know, they were just partying and the partying went too far, but now they're addicts and they're out living on the road. And, you know, or maybe, you know, you went through tragedy, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, people, you know, during, I think it happened to a lot of people in, like, you know, when factories closed down, you hear about these small towns, a lot of places in Pennsylvania and Ohio and places like that, when all their factory jobs got shipped overseas in like the 90s. And then almost overnight, these towns died. It led people to depression because, you know, not long ago, they were making good money and providing for their family. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, their job is completely gone and they turn to alcoholism. And, you know, maybe their family, their wife leaves them, or their family leaves them because, you know, they're not making any money, or maybe because they're not making any money, they get depressed and they become alcoholics. And then all these things happen. And then, you know, you look back and you go, you know, where did it all go wrong? But it just feels like sometimes for certain instances, it doesn't take much before you're like, man, my life really took a turn. And I think about that when I think about this song. Like, here's a guy, and what he has now is just his dreams. Just his dreams of his childhood. He wanted so bad to leave, but now he only wishes he could go back there. It is sad. It's making me tear up right now thinking about it. That's a good email. I appreciate that. Here's another one. I know this might not reach you, and you are probably very busy, but I think it is worth a shot because you have a good perspective on divorced parents raising kids. Basically, I'm a new dad to a toddler and also going through a divorce that doesn't seem reconcilable. Reconcilable? I am worried about being distant from my son and not getting to spend enough time with him. Do you have any recommendations on trying to make things better with my son over time? I'm a big fan. And from all the podcast and stand-up, it sounds like you have a good relationship with your dad now, but there were issues with parents being against each other and possibly not spending much time with your dad. If that is accurate, is there anything you think I can do to reduce these problems? Sorry if this is too personal. You seem like someone with real experience in this situation, and I strangely don't know many people who do. Or maybe they don't talk about it. Well, yeah. Thank you for this. I'm not going to say your name, but appreciate this email. And I'm not a counselor, right? So I feel like I have to say something, like I'm not giving advice or whatever. I'm not anything. I don't know anything. I'm just a guy who's just living life out here, and I'm just a product of my experiences. And it's easy for me to look back on what I think are mistakes my parents made because I have the hindsight of being able to look back on it, right? Whereas at the time, they were just living their life. And I think my parents in their own way had very difficult childhoods, right? In several different ways. I think, my parents grew up with parents who were raised in the Great Depression or experienced the Great Depression. And, people didn't have a lot of money. Neither of my parents had a lot of money growing up. And when my parents got married to each other, they both were on their second marriage. My parents had came into marrying each other, each having a divorce. And my mom already had two kids that she brought in. And I don't think my dad was ready for that. I don't think my dad was, and I don't know that anybody is. I know there are some very good step-parents out there who have stepped up and really become like parents to the kids. I mean, so much so that the kids oftentimes love the step-parent more than their own parent that they don't get to see very often, right? But I think it's very hard to come into a relationship as a parent. Now, something that my mom did that I liked and always appreciated, and I don't know that she did this for me, maybe she did, but my mom never got remarried. And I lived with my mom. She had various boyfriends, but they never lived with us. And if there were any bad stuff going on, I never saw it and didn't realize it. And I think that always helped me and my mom stay very close, that she kept my dad's last name. So me and my mom, we have the same last name, and we have a great relationship. My dad, I have, a few memories, but I have one memory in particular. And when I think about it, it actually makes me a little sad. I remember right after my parents' divorce, this was before my dad got remarried. So they probably got divorced when I was 2 or 3 and remarried when I was, and my dad got remarried when I was 5. And roughly 5. And I remember being at my mom's house. I believe we were watching the Atlanta Braves, which is something my dad still watches. He watched my entire life. And I remember missing my dad, being sad and wanting to be with my dad, which is why I am so against divorce if you have kids. I've said it before. If you don't have kids, who cares, right? Don't get divorced, but if you don't have kids, who cares? That's my take. It doesn't make any difference to me. That may not be a good biblical take, but I just, if you don't have kids, I don't care if you get divorced or not. But if you do have kids, that's why I'm so against it, because I remember missing my dad. And it wasn't one of those things where it's like, well, your dad's gone for work, you know, he'll be home, you know, later in the week, or, you know, well, your dad's just at work, he'll be back, or your dad's on a trip, he'll be back. It's, you know, you'll see your dad when you go to visit him, you know, this weekend or next weekend. But he will never be home in this house. The house we're in right now will never be home for your dad. And I remember really missing my dad. And my dad got remarried when I was 5. And I don't think my dad did anything wrong by doing this. But he got remarried to a lady who had 2 kids. She had 2 sons, and they were both older than me. So now when I would go to visit my dad on the weekends, I was now going into basically someone else's home. My dad did a good job, I think, of trying to make me feel at home, but I shared a bedroom with my younger stepbrother, who I just saw not too long ago. They're great. This is nothing against any of them. But I shared a bedroom with him, so I didn't have my own bedroom at my dad's house. And then my other stepbrother, who was, you know, a good bit older than us, he had his own room. And then my dad had his new wife. So my dad gave the attention to his new wife and new stepsons that should have gone to me. I should have had the attention of both my mom and my dad. But instead, my dad's attention went to his new wife. And I'm not saying that my dad was doing this intentionally. I'm just saying this is the reality of the situation. And so I think that hurt our relationship, because as I got older, I didn't get along with my stepmom. You know, looking back, watching home videos, there's a variety of reasons why that went the way that it did. But just to me at the time, as a kid, I'm like, this lady is not very nice to me. She wasn't abusive. She didn't abuse me, but she wasn't very nice to me. And so I didn't feel welcome there. And it affected my relationship with my dad to a degree that he got divorced, you know, to her roughly 9 years later when I was 14. And in that time, when she was gone, me and my dad did start to get closer. We took trips together. We did a couple of different things. We were hanging out more. My dad wanted me to start coming, spending more time up there with him. And we took a trip to Panama City, where he met his wife now, and he remarried to his wife that he currently has, who's my stepmom, Martha, who is incredible. I mean, she's a great lady. But again, my dad gets remarried when I'm 16, now giving the attention that he should be giving his teenage son. Now that he has the free time, he's given that attention back to his new wife. And I say all that because this is my life experience. I'm saying if you can't reconcile with your wife, which is too bad, the world, this country, not the world, this country right now is set up to make us divorce each other. It is so easy to get divorced. It is so easy. There are people ready to divorce you. There's nothing, there's nobody pushing back on you. There's people going, well, if that's going to make you happier, do it. There's no pushback on it. And sometimes when someone's decided that they're done, then there is nothing you can do. I encourage you to try to do it, to try to reconcile. Because I think inevitably, and I know lots of divorced people, lots of people my age who grew up with divorced parents. And I think inevitably the parents turn you against the other parent, whether they mean to or not. They may not even mean to do it, but they're, you know, they may make a comment here or there. You know, maybe it's just like, oh, your dad always does this, or oh, this is your mom's always acted like this. You know, those kind of comments to where it starts to turn them against you. So I would strongly try to keep the marriage together. But if you can't, and this is the hard part, this is the other hard part. If you can't, I would try to not get remarried. If you work out some kind of custody situation where you get to see your son, you know, pretty often, try to not get remarried. You know, and spend that time with your son. I don't know how old you are. You know, I'm 43 and I have young kids. So if you're very young, you could, you know, when your kid is older, you could maybe start a new family. That's my advice. If you want the relationship with your son, you know, don't get remarried. You know, you could date, but when your son is coming to visit you on the weekends, be alone with him. Spend time with him. Give him the energy that you would be given to a new wife. Now, there's a chance that you meet a woman and she's really great, and I would encourage you. And this will sound bad. People will hate this, I think. But I would encourage you to try to not marry someone with kids. Because, especially if she has the custody of the kids. Because then that's your house now. And you're going to be giving them that energy. And I always say this, you know, maybe, and I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are people that know how to work this. And they know how to make it happen. But I just think, you know, kids need you. And especially, I feel like little boys really need their dads these days. It's a different time that we're in, and I really think they need their dads, and he's going to need you. So I would say if there's nothing you can do to keep this marriage together, try to not get remarried. That may not be the kind of advice you want, because I know, and again, I'm not equipped to give any advice. So don't, you know, blame me if this is not good advice. But that's just my perspective. That it's like, you know, you got to give them the attention they deserve. Be there for them. And I don't know. That's what I got. I feel like this podcast seems so serious today, but I really had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun talking about this stuff. You know, I hope I didn't upset the pork eaters out there with the beginning of this podcast. Because, listen, you're going to do what you're going to do. And I'm not mad at you. I'm your friend. And I hope, you know, write me back, because I wanted to include this email on this podcast because I thought it was good content. And I'd like to know what other people think. What are your thoughts on this? Am I wrong on any of them? If you write me about pork, there's a good chance I'm gonna come back at you, and I won't be rude about it. But I just want you to know, I have heard all the arguments, but I would be interested to hear people's take on the toxicity level of the animals and what they think about that. And I appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. This has been really great. This weekend, I'm going to be in Winnipeg doing the Great Outdoor Comedy Festival. I'm going to be on a show. It's going to be Laura Peak, and then me, and then Theo Vaughn on this show. So that should be exciting. And then next week, the 22nd, I have a show at Zany's. And then on the 25th, I'm in Las Vegas. And then on July 29th, my new special, Wet Heat, comes out on Netflix. And then I'm going to be in Huntsville, Alabama, and Atlanta following the release of the Netflix And then, you know, then I'm off to the races. I mean, the August, what is it? August, September, October, November, December. I mean, those are going to be banging months. I'm going to be going at it. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. We're having a good time. Thank you.